The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I want everybody just to stand quickly and just to lift your hands, and we're going to pray as we go to the Word. Father, I pray, let every ear be anointed to hear, and let every heart be receptive, receive all that heaven has today. So mightily grows your word and prevails. Lord, we're not interested in opinions. We're not interested in theories. We're not even interested in our ideas. We only want your word. Your word. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. And I thank you that every ear anointed to hear your word now, and every heart receptive to receive all that heaven has. And we thank you for this now, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week, I made these statements. I said that you're going to have to be very, very careful what you do. You can't just take off and go somewhere. I think I'll go here. I think I'll do this. It's like people called me and said, are you going to take your wife on holiday? I said, well, where? I mean, where do you go right now? I'm not going to some place where people are wearing face diapers. Hello. Amen. Are you with me? And you can't walk around, you can't do anything. I said, look, I'll just stay at my house. I'm not interested in the nonsense. So, obviously, if the Lord opens up something for us, I'll take her away. I'm not playing games. I'm not jumping on some plane to go somewhere, to run through some test, to take some shot, to get anywhere. I will live my life as I always have. Can you say amen? So I only want to do exactly what God wants me to do. And right now, the Lord wants me to be here. Amen. Amen. Even if I'm not here for whatever reason, I'm running everything from behind the scenes. I'm coordinating. Are you with me? Amen. So I know every little thing that happens that's going on the field, in the auditorium, on the property, everything, because it comes to my attention. And I have to pray, get the mind of God, and then make the decision. So even if you don't see me, I'm watching. Amen. I'm watching. So I said this, that you're going to have to hear the voice of God more than you've ever heard the voice of God. And we could train you. All the new students that are coming in, something's going to happen to you over the next 3 years. 3 years from now, people are not even going to recognize you. Family is going to be shocked at you. In actual fact, some will look at you and go, I don't know you. Because you will walk different. You will talk different. You will act different. But besides that, you will hear from heaven. It's wonderful to have people around you that hear from heaven. It's a terrible thing to have deaf people in the spirit around you. Somebody said, Pastor, what do you mean by deaf people? Deaf people, they're always walking around, what's God saying? What's God saying? If God's saying something, you're saying it. Hello? I said, if God's saying something, then you are speaking it. But they walk around, what's God saying? I don't know what God's saying. No, he said, my sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger that will not follow. Say this after me. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger, they'll not follow. Now, Proverbs 20 and verse 27, the spirit of man, the Amplified says, that factor in human personality which proceeds immediately from God is the lamp of the Lord searching all the innermost parts. So God will lead you by His Spirit in your spirit. In other words, it's like a street light or a what you call a stoplight, because it's red, but really it's green as much as it is red. So you will learn to listen to that stoplight in your spirit. There will be a green, yes, go. There'll be an amber, caution, be very careful. And then there'll be red, stop. How many have ever felt that amber, the caution in your spirit? Hello? Obey. The moment you feel the caution, back up. It can save you your life, especially when you're about to cross an intersection and the Lord says, hold it a second, and you hold it a second and the car comes flying through a red light. How many have ever had stuff like that happen to you? Very important. Muy importante. Say it again. My sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So God's going to speak to your spirit. 1 John 3 and verse 9. No one begotten of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. There's nobody on the field here that loves God with all your heart and that you say that you're practicing sin as a way of life. It's impossible. Do people miss it? Do people fall short? Do people sin? Yes, they do. That's why the Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it says here from the Amplified Classic, it says the principles of life, the divine sperm, remain permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he's born or begotten of God. So what will happen is the moment you step into an area that you're not, God will warn you, don't go there. Don't open yourself up to that. Are you with me? There have been times in my life, and I've been serving the Lord since I was 5, where I was about to do something and I heard the Lord say, if you do that, I cannot protect you anymore. In other words, if you do that, you do it at your own risk and you'll have to suffer the consequences. But 2 Peter 1 and verse 4 says, by means of these he bestowed on us his precious and exceeding great promises, so that through them we may escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers or partakers of the divine nature. Not only will we escape in the spirit, we will escape in the natural. In other words, the enemy comes for you, and when he gets there, you're not there. Because he said he will hide you in the cleft of the rock. The Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You will be in the secret place. Everybody say the secret place. The devil might hear your voice, but he won't know where you are. He'll say, I know he's somewhere in the vicinity, but I just can't find him. I know she is somewhere in the region, but it's like you are steps ahead of the enemy. Everybody say, steps ahead. That's how you're going to live. Steps ahead. Steps ahead. Hallelujah. Everybody say, steps ahead. Glory to God. I need Pastor Allen up here quickly. I need a reader here. My Bible's, the pages are flying. I can't hold the handheld and the Bible at the same time. I'll give you the scripture. And you can read. You can use my Bible. Give that to him. The first scripture I want to go to, Acts 27 and verse 9. Acts 27 and verse 9. You've got to get a mic. Just sit in the shade over here because I'm going to use you for a while. Bring him a chair. That's a stool. Bring him a chair. I don't want him looking like a yuppie preacher sitting on a bar stool. Bring him over here. Thank God you're not wearing skinny jeans.
No, sir.
Have a seat. So Acts 27 and verse 9. Looks like you're going to have to deal with the pages as well.
Yeah.
We might need a page holder here. Verse 9. Read it from the Amplified.
But as the season was well advanced, for much time had been lost, and navigation was already dangerous, for the time for the fast, the Day of the Atonement, about the beginning of October, had already gone by, Paul warned and advised them.
Verse 10.
Saying, sirs, I perceive, after careful observation, that this voyage will be attended with disaster and much heavy loss, not only on the cargo and the ship, but also our lives also. However, the centurion paid greater attention to the pilot and the owner of the ship than what Paul said. And as the harbor was not well situated and not unsuitable to winter in, the majority favored the plan of putting to sea again from there, hoping somehow to reach Phoenicia, a harbor of Crete facing southwest and northwest, and winter there. So when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they were gaining their object, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, hugging the coast. But soon afterward, a violent wind of the character of a typhoon called a northeaster.
That's the longest verse 10 I've ever heard.
Yeah, very long.
Is it still going?
No.
Yeah. I just wanted you to do verse 10. Yeah. We were going to be here till tonight. We've been sitting here, Revelation chapter 1. And
I was okay. Caught up.
So, isn't it amazing that Paul knew that that voyage was going to be trouble? So God will speak to you about things to come. There'll be things that are going to happen this week, and the Lord say on Tuesday, this. God will warn you ahead. Say this after me, God will warn me ahead. Now go back to chapter 26. I want to read from verse 13 through 19. Verse 13 through 19.
When on the road at midday, O king, I saw a light from heaven, surpassing the brightness of the sun, flashing about me and those who were traveling with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice in the Hebrew tongue saying to me, Saul, Saul, why do you continue to persecute me, to harass and to trouble, to molest me? It is dangerous and turns out badly for you to keep kicking against the goads, to keep offering vain, perilous resistance. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, in whom you're persecuting. But arise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, that I might appoint you to serve as my minister and to bear witness both to in what you have seen of me and to in which I will appear to you, choosing you out, selecting you for my purpose, and delivering you from among the Jewish people and the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you, to open their eyes, that they may turn from their darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may thus receive forgiveness and release for their sins a place and a portion among those who are consecrated and purified by faith in me. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision.
Okay, so when he got saved, God sent the prophet to tell him the things that he would suffer for his name's sake. And God said, I'm going to bring you in front of kings. And here he is, and standing in front of King Agrippa. It's as the vision, as the Lord had spoken to him, exactly what was going to come to pass. This didn't happen early in his ministry. This was later. There was 3 years, then there was 15 days, then there was 14 years. So you're looking at 17 years, 15 days. Now here he is in front of King Agrippa. But he knew he was standing in divine destiny. I had that happen to me. I was 13 years of age, and there was a crusade that was taking place in the town of East London in the Eastern Cape of South Africa. And I know when you were there, you actually went to see the venue. and it was called the Orient Theater. It held 1,000 people. My father was leading the praise and worship, because that's what my dad did. And they did the old style, you know, with one hand, always looks like you're milking a cow, you know. The old style Pentecostal leading worship. Sometimes you do it with both hands, sometimes just one hand, you know, holding the microphone and you lead the worship. Anybody raised in Pentecost, you know what I'm talking about. And my mother would sing. My mother would, she was a soloist, and she'd get up and sing. And we had an American evangelist by the name of David Nunn. And God had used him during the healing revival and powerfully back in the 40s and 50s. And so I'm talking about the early 70s now. I'm sitting there. And I wasn't sitting up front, because that's not what you do when you're 13. I was sitting up on the ramps going up. And I was a little, you know, distracted, you know, with the preliminaries, what was going on. And I took a song sheet and I was making a paper plane. And I was looking to see how far I could fly it over people's head. Because, you know, that's great as a 13-year-old. You may see how far my chorus sheet jet can go. Anybody raised in church, you know what I'm talking about. And so, as they announced the evangelist to come and speak, I heard an audible voice saying, "You will preach here someday." Just like that. And I actually stopped doing what I was doing, and I looked around. I thought, I'm going to preach here in this place? 10 years later, I was 23 years old. I was married. And I felt to go down to East London to have a crusade. And I went down and I rented that venue. I never remembered anything. I rented that venue for 4 nights. And I advertised in the paper, healing, miracle, you know, whatever. And nobody knew who I was. I mean, we had 300 people show up. You know, I was so excited. I thought, oh, this is, the place seated 1,000. Somebody said, that's not a lot. But hey, nobody knew who I was. I mean, 300 is better than a poking out with a blunt stick on a cold day. You understand what I'm saying? And here's what happened. Right after the praise and worship, I walked out, and then it hit me like a sledgehammer. And I looked out, and I could see myself at 13 sitting there, and I heard the Lord say, "You see, I told you, you preach here someday." I was almost speechless. I was overcome. That's what Paul must have felt, that waste, standing in front of King Agrippa, because God said, "I'm going to send you." There's things that God is speaking to you in your spirit right now that are not for right now, but will come to pass in the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years if Jesus tarries. And you'll realize that you're walking in divine destiny. Say this: I'm walking in God's purpose and plan for my life. Say, I'm walking in divine destiny. God's purpose, God's plan. Say, every plan of the devil will not come to pass over my life. Every plan of the enemy is canceled out today. Go to Acts chapter 10. I probably should have told you earlier. Acts 10, verse 1. And go to verse 12. Because I'm going to show you how God speaks.
Now, living in Caesarea, there was a man whose name was Cornelius, a centurion or a captain in what is known the Italian regiment. He was a devout man and a venerated God, and treated him with reverential obedience, and so did all of his household. And he gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God continuously. And about the 9th hour, about 3 p.m. of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God entering and saying to him, "Cornelius." And he said, gazing intently at him, became frightened and said, "What is it, Lord?" And the angel said to him, "Your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him. And now send men to Joppa and have them call and invite here a certain Simon whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose household is by the seaside." Now when the angel who spoke to him had left, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a God-fearing soldier from among his own personal attendants, and having rehearsed everything to him, they sent to Joppa. The next day, as they were sitting still on their way and were approaching the town, Peter went up to the roof of the house to pray at about the sixth hour, which is noon. But he became very hungry, and he wanted something to eat. While the meal was being prepared, a trance came over him, and he saw the sky open, and something like a great sheet lowered by four corners descended over the earth. It contained all kinds. You said 12, right?
Yeah. Mean,
verse 12. Okay. Okay, and it contained all kinds of quadrupeds and wild beasts and creeping things and the earth and the birds of the air. And it came a voice saying, "Rise now, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common and not hallowed or ceremonially unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed and pronounced clean, do not defile in any profane by regarding it or calling it common or unhallowed or unclean." This occurred three times. Then immediately the sheet was taken up to heaven. Now Peter was still inwardly perplexed and doubted as to what the vision which he had seen could mean. When just then, behold, the messengers that were sent by Cornelius, who had made inquiry of Simon's house, stopped and stood before the gate. And they called out to inquire whether Simon was surnamed Peter was there. And while Peter was earnestly revolving the vision in his mind and meditating on it, the Holy Spirit said, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Get up and go below and accompany them without any doubt about its legality or any discrimination or hesitation, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down with the men and said, "I am the man you seek. What is the purpose of your coming?"
So what's so amazing, think about this. He is a total heathen. He's in his house. An angel comes to him, gives him direction, tells him where to go to get a hold of Peter. But he didn't arrive there or send people there. And Peter said, "What are you doing here?" "Well, you know, Cornelius is calling for you." Peter said, "I ain't going anywhere. Are you kidding me? I'm not. Besides that, you the Gentiles. I don't go to the Gentiles." This was, God was breaking all of the mold, the tradition, where they were going outside of the Jewish realm and going to the Gentiles. So God prepared Peter, giving him a vision of what was clean or unclean and showing that nothing is made is unclean. This is proof that God is not a racist. Are you with me? Because there became a revelation to Peter even when he got to Cornelius' house. Peter said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, and in every nation there are people that fear him." So God spoke to Cornelius with an angel coming to him, and then God speaks to Peter in a trance. Which everybody says a trance, that's like something really bad. No, the devil tries to copy everything God does. There's good trances and bad trances. Hello. The bad trances when the devil takes over and then it's crazy stuff. But there's good trances. Peter was on a housetop praying and fell into a trance. And God spoke to him. Isn't that amazing? I found that totally outstanding. That God comes, speaks to a total heathen, tells him where to go, gives him the street address. Okay, that's the street address, the name of the individual. And then God doesn't just leave it at that. It says to Peter, "This is what you're going to do." And he was hungry, he was going to eat. He started praying, and then the word of the Lord says, "Arise, three men seek you." If Peter got down there was one person, he knew it wasn't God. He got down there were three people. "What have you come for?" "Well, this was what happened." This shows me that our life, and I know there's people that are watching and people even here today, that you think that this is something in the old, just for Bible days, and it stopped with the last apostle. This is what the church should be living in this realm, that you'll be in your house, God will speak to you, God will speak to a total stranger, and the Lord will prepare, God will set up divine connections. Expect this month to be a month of divine connections. Can you say amen? All right, go to Acts 11 and verse 11.
And right then, the three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house in which they were. We were.
And verse 12.
And the Holy Spirit instructed me to accompany them without the least hesitation or misgivings or discrimination. So these six brethren accompanied me also, and we went into the man's house.
Which, read the King James Version in verse 12.
And the Spirit bade me go with them.
That's it right there. The Spirit bade me go. Everybody say, the Spirit bade me go. Say it again. In other words, when the Holy Spirit takes over, he's going to tell you. There have been things that I cannot get involved in. I can't get involved in. People say, come over here, do this. I can't. Why? The Lord will not release me to. So I received a call. Someone said, would you fly out to Washington and come preach? I said, no. Somebody said, would you fly here and preach? No. I can't. I got to stay on point doing exactly what God tells me to do. And many times we get invites from people in churches and nations and whatever. Can you come here? Can you do this? And I always tell people, in the timing of the Lord, as the Lord releases me, I'll come. I want that to be your motto. Say this out loud. Say, I'm not going to do anything just because I can do it. I will be led by the Holy Spirit. I will only do what God tells me to do. I will obey the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will release me or constrain me. The Bible says, let peace be your umpire. If you're being forced into something and you don't have a peace about it, that's not God. Are you with me? Somebody said, I'm being forced into. They told me there was a deadline. They told me I had to do it. And you feel uneasy about it. You feel you don't have a peace. Back right off. Somebody said, I can't. You have to. You have to obey the Holy Spirit. It is a matter of life and death. That's the reason I'm sharing this message with you, because I love you people. I love the church. I love the people of God. And I want the Lord to be the same protection for you that he is to me. Are you with me? And for the Lord to lead you and guide you the same way. You don't have to come to me, Pastor Rodney, what should I do? Can you pray with me? You will know. I'll show you how to hear God's voice. Every one of you should hear God's voice. Every one of you should be laying hands on the sick. Every one of you should be casting out devils. Every one of you should know how to believe God for provision. Every one of you, every single one, from the littlest child to the oldest saint. Go to Acts 13 and read verses 1 and 2. Read it out of the King James, please. Acts chapter 13. How many are needed to hear this today and you understand God will lead you? Say this on me, God will lead me.
Now there were in a certain church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod to the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.
So it wasn't just, hey, you guys come here, Barnabas and Saul, come here, we're going to do this. The Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me. How many years ago it was when I walked into the kitchen upstairs and said, welcome, you, the new youth pastor. How many years ago was that?
It was 14 and a half.
Okay, so now we'd had a situation where our youth pastor left, and now I was just informed. And the Lord spoke into my spirit, Pastor Allen to be the new youth pastor. That's not how you hire somebody. Normally you bring them in, you find out all their qualifications, you interview them. But I didn't actually have to, because I heard the Lord say, Pastor Allen be the youth pastor. So I walked in, he was getting something there in the kitchen. And I just looked at him and said, well, What did I say to you? Tell them.
You walked in and you shut the door behind you and you said, well, congratulations, you're the new youth pastor. And you turned around and walked out.
So I walked in, said, you're the new youth pastor, and then opened the door and left. And he was probably standing there going, what? What just happened? What does that even mean? Do you think you found out what being youth pastor
is? Oh, definitely I found out. Yeah, absolutely.
No job description.
So it's supernatural. I remember when we were, our whole media department on production as far as graphics and art, the couple that were running, that were moving to Hawaii. And the administrator at that time came to me and said, we're going to have to hire people. We need to put out a word that we need to hire people for graphics. You know, our department's going to be really, because we rely heavy on art and graphics for productions. Our production department's going to really be suffering. And we need to hire somebody. I said, absolutely not. They said, what do you mean? I said, absolutely not. We don't need to hire anybody. No, we need to hire them. I said, no, we don't. No, pastor, we need to hire them. We don't. I said, no, we don't. What do you mean? I said, well, there's two people in there right now. Tony Gears and a girl named Leslie. They were not married. They didn't even really like each other. And I said, the new people to run the whole department are going to be Tony and Leslie. No, they can't do it. Listen, they stepped in. Everything went to the next level. It was like creativity was held back. We didn't need to go outside. We had it inside. And the Lord said to me, they're already there. They're already in the house. And look, now they got married. They got children. King's Arms, that's one of their businesses. I mean, come on. Listen, folks, only God can do that. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, well, how did you get this person? How did this person come and think? I don't know. They're coming by and I go, hey, come here. The Lord wants you over here. God wants to use you over here. It's all been supernatural. It's all been supernatural. I want to say this to all the people in business here. You have your own company. Don't just go hire random people. Pray. Ask God. Do you know how many people that are business people in companies, they hire somebody, the guy stole everything, set them back, they lost their corporation because they didn't really hear from God. You pray, God will send you the right people. If you're pastor watching and you don't have the staff, somebody said, boy, I like all your staff that you have. We have 70 full-time staff, 20 part-time. We've got hundreds of volunteers around the ministry. I like them. I'm going to come over there and hire you. Do you know how many people want to hire all our people? I said, leave our people alone. Go hire your own people, you ugly thing, you. They said, no, pastor, we don't have people like this. I said, you have people like that. They in your church. You just haven't put the fire on them, and you don't turn them loose. You micromanage everybody. You cannot micromanage anybody. I promise you, every one of our staff will tell you, I do not micromanage one person. I'm a visionary. I see the whole picture. If you could put it this way, I look at the forest, I see all the trees. Other people can pick one tree out and tell me what tree it is. I don't really bother me. Somebody said, oh, there's an avocado tree with 7 avocados in the forest. Doesn't matter. To me, it's part of the forest. I see the forest. God gives me the overview. But every person that's come around has been raised up through this ministry. They've come through 3 years of Bible school. They've been serving. We've watched them. There were some that we were going to hire. We were going to hire them. And in actual fact, as we talked to them about going to the next level, they wigged out and actually left the church. Good people. We were like devastated. What are you talking about? They've been faithful for like 7 years. And then we challenged them to go to another level. And they didn't want to. And they actually left the church. So you have to be very careful. And so everybody says, we want to hire your people. I said, you don't. You have those people. So I don't micromanage everybody. Everybody has a job description. People know what they have to do. And especially during this COVID lockdown, people were working from house. We weren't monitored. There's no clock in, clock out, none of that stuff. So we just trust everybody to do the work. And everybody was working and doing what God was calling them to do. I didn't micromanage. Do you know that in 9 weeks, that I was broadcasting from the green desk. We had one staff meeting and we had one pastor's meeting. And the meeting was, how's everybody doing? We're doing great, Pastor. We're doing phenomenal. Why? Because here's what I told everybody. Every one of you, only do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Only what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. And I've taught them enough. They know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. If we follow the Holy Ghost, it will be okay. There's probably three events that took place in the past 2 months that the Lord told me that's going to create a problem. And I was right. Not that I'm right, but the Holy Ghost was right. I knew that's not going to turn out well, that won't turn out well, and that won't turn out well. And I should have probably called the people and said, that's not going to happen. You're not going there. You're not doing that. But again, I don't micromanage anybody. I expect everybody to be led by the Holy Spirit. But everything I felt in my spirit came to pass exactly as the Lord dropped it into my spirit. And by saying that, I'm not asking you to call me to say, Pastor, what should I do? I'm trying to teach you how you can hear the Lord when you wake up in the morning and you feel a check in your spirit. That means you feel the amber light. That doesn't mean, oh, the devil's attacking me. No, it could be God warning you. Hello? Why is everything always got to be the devil's attacking you? I tell you, I'm just not feeling good. I feel like a terrible, like a blockage today. Yeah, you're constipated. You should take some X-Lax or whatever you use. Metamucil. Hello? You're not feeling well because you're tired. You haven't slept. Don't blame everything on the devil. The devil's sitting on the sideline going, I have nothing to do with it. I haven't even started. In actual fact, I'm not even around his house. We got like a midget stick demon, 2 foot high, paralyzed from the neck down, blind in both eyes, deaf in both ears, with a speech impediment and an IQ of 3. That's the one that's been harassing him. And he thinks it's me. I got nothing to do with it. Even the devil said, I got nothing to do with it. Even the devil says that there's really no reason for me to even arrest them. They're not doing anything that's damaging my kingdom. They don't praise and worship. They don't give. They don't win souls. They actually, in fact, they go to church on Sunday, but that's it. They just attend Sunday. But the rest of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they goofing off. They're everywhere. They just running over here, running over there. God does not even come into the equation. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I can still see you under them umbrellas. Hello? Somebody said, but we can't press in all the time. You either press into God or you press in into someone else. You're either going to hear from God or you're going to hear from other voices. That's why I tell people, make sure you know where you're eating. Make sure you know where you are eating. People run here, they run to that ministry, run there to that ministry, they run to this ministry, they run to that ministry, they eat a little bit here, they eat a little bit there. They've got so much food poisoning, they don't even know which side's up. Everything they believe is contradicted. 1 minute they're in faith, the next minute they're in doubt and unbelief. 1 minute they believe in healing and miracles, the next minute God's gonna kill you, God's gonna make you sick. They have no clue. Why? Because they're sitting under leadership that are schizophrenic. They don't know what the Bible says. It's important what you listen to. The Bible says, take heed what you hear. Surround yourself with faith. Surround yourself with the Word of God. Surround yourself with people that believe God. That are going to believe God for miracles. Now let me take just a few more minutes and I'm going to wrap it up. Not that it needs wrapping. Last Sunday, I talked a little bit about guidance through prophecy, which I don't really recommend, because if you have to run around to get a prophet to prophesy to you, that's why they say that there are many people in the church that are using fortune tellers today. Believe it or not, There are many Christians, even in spirit-filled churches, that use fortune tellers. What? Why would you go to some person looking into a crystal ball? Why would you even listen to somebody that reads a horoscope? And if they were really listening properly, the people that read the horoscope would have said, March lockdown, April lockdown, May lockdown, didn't matter what month you were born in. Some of you will get that later. You'll be driving down the road this afternoon and then you suddenly realize what I said. Because, you know, each month is different, and then there's a different thing about you. It didn't matter which month you were born in. Lockdown, face mask, quarantine, sanitizers. Didn't matter if you were born in June. Hello. So say this after me. Prophecy is confirmation to what I already know. It is not information. I'm not running around looking for a word. The Lord knows where I am. He will speak to me in my spirit, in a dream, in a vision. And if I get the word of the Lord coming through somebody else, it will confirm what I already know. Yeah, people just take off and leave, sell everything and move. Somebody said, what? I was at the stand, and I went down to one of the portalettes, and a man stumbled out of a portalette and grabbed my hand and said, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt sell everything that thou hast, and thou shalt move to Montana. So, they didn't even know the guy. Some clown stumbles out of a portalette. Probably, he didn't even sanitize his hand. Then he shook your hand to give you a prophetic word. They are. Don't allow strangers to walk up and start prophesying. You don't know who they are. I'll be in meetings around the world. People walk up, they come to me and say, can I pray for you? I go, absolutely not. Somebody said, oh, that's terrible, Pastor. You turn them down. No, I don't know who they are. What are they going to pray over me? I don't know. No, get away from me. Get your hands off of me. I don't know you. Just walk out the crowd. Can I pray for you? No. Be careful. Be careful. Some people have hands and will travel. I warned every revival that happened from the 90s, I warned them to be careful over this very point. And they said, what do you mean? I said, do not be very careful about your prayer teams. I said, you put people out, you don't even know who they are. Some of them come in, they sign up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And now in the prayer team, people are coming hungry for God to receive. And these people are laying hands on them. You don't even know who they are. And then the prayer team's out back puffing on a cigarette. And now they're laying hands on people for a double portion of the anointing. Do I believe in having pastors? We turn our pastors loose. We turn different people loose. But we are very protective over the laying on of hands because you need to know whose hands they are, where they've been, where they come from, and what anointing are you going to receive? But by the same token, every one of you can go lay hands on the sick. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about laying on of hands for impartation. Be very careful. The Bible says, know those that labor among you. Well, there's a lot of places don't even believe in impartation, so it doesn't really matter. And you don't have to have hands laid on you to receive an impartation. You can receive it just sitting in the seat, sitting under that umbrella. The power of God come, boom, on you, and you receive from heaven. You came here one way, you leave another way. That's how it works. Even in your house, we've had people in other cities. I'm preaching on the fire. The power of God hits him in Paris, France, and he flies across his living room. He don't even speak English properly at the time. Boom! And I'm not against prophecy. I've received many prophetic words over the years, and some of them have come to pass. Others are probably in the future, and some I pray never come to pass. It was a joke. But you sure don't want it. It's like me getting a hold of Ankit now. The Lord shows me you're going to do mass crusades. Duh. Been doing it since he was 13. God says you're going to have many miracles. He's already having it. So if some people come with the prophetic gift and it's always confirming the obvious, you have blue eyes. Wow, that's amazing. I got a word from God. I have blue eyes. And I'm not saying God can't give somebody's street address. Let me tell you right now, if you're sitting away waiting for somebody to tell you what street you live on, you're in trouble. If you don't know where you, if somebody told you what street you're living on, it's just to confirm that God is actually speaking. Hello. That they knew something about you that nobody else knew. But if you're sitting away, tell me where I live. Give me my phone number. Now, why I'm saying this, because, listen, you might not even understand this, but this is what started happening in Africa. Okay, so people, listen to me. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to protect you. So people would advertise a meeting on Facebook. They have a guest prophet. The guest prophet would come. A lady by the name of Mary Smith says, I'm coming tonight and I'm bringing my three children. That guy is at home in the afternoon, supposed to be praying. He's on Facebook. He goes there. He clicks on the meeting. He goes to Mary Smith. He checks out where she lives. He checks out her husband's name. He checks out the children's name, where they, what, whatever, walks out. There's a Mary Smith here. You're from Nashville, Tennessee. Your husband's name is Jack, and you have three children, two boys and a girl. Anybody, oh my God, that's the word of the Lord. It's not, it's Facebook. It's Facebook. Somebody said they're not doing that. They are doing that. Are you listening to me? That's right. I'm not saying everybody is. I'm trying to protect you. If you're looking for the wow, wow, ooh, ah, wow. So they're not prophesying, they're prophesying. They know the Lord did not reveal to them your name. God did not reveal to them where you live. God did not reveal to them the name of your husband or your children. They found it out on Facebook. That is not the Holy Ghost. Forget all of that. If it's a real word, they didn't see anything. They didn't know you, but the word of the Lord comes out and then God begins to give pure direction to the detail of the finest detail to the minutest little piece of information that only God knew. Stuff that you didn't put on Facebook, stuff you didn't put on Instagram. I see you, you at a restaurant, you were eating a lobster. Yeah, it's on your Instagram. Two nights ago, you were, somebody said, yeah, I was. Somebody said, Pastor, people won't do that. There is such a drive. I'm not talking about the evangelicals that don't have anything of the supernatural. There's such a drive to try to get a name for somebody. They want to get a name for their ministry, a name to be known as some kind of a prophet or whatever, that people will stop at nothing to do that. And I'm telling you right now, if you do that, your life will be cut short. If you do that, your ministry will be cut short. God is not mocked. This is not a game, and we're not playing around. If you're going to give somebody a word, if you're going to say, thus say the Lord, you better be careful. You better make sure that it is the Lord and not you making something up and sucking something out of the book of imaginations. God will hold you responsible. You will stand before him on that day for what you did. That's why it's not just the Spirit. It's the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit together. Hallelujah. 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 Now, let me begin to close with this. On the visions and dreams, it will be something that there will be no... When I had that vision, that open vision, 140 days ago, folks, there's no doubt. When you see fire come into your room, it's either you're either dreaming or you're making it up. It was real. Somebody said, I think the Lord's speaking to me. He didn't. If God speaks to you, you know He'll speak to you. That's like me being in the bush in Africa, say, I think an elephant trod on me. It didn't. Maybe a squirrel. But when an elephant treads on you, you'll know it. Let me tell you, there's nobody that's ever been trodden on by an elephant that thinks an elephant trod on them. And how many know God is bigger than an elephant? When God comes and touches you, when God comes and speaks to you, you will know it is God beyond a shadow of a doubt. And it'll be transforming to your life. Now, let me give you four things here, or really five things quickly, and then I'll close, that will help you. I want to talk to you quickly about how to train your heart. Everybody say, I'm going to train my heart. I think it was a movie out, Disney movie, How to Train Your Dragon. People need to train their spirit. Everybody say, I can train my spirit to hear God's voice. Number one, you can train it by meditating in the Word. Meditating in the Word. Joshua 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Meditate is not that you sat with your legs crossed and you were going, Somebody said, what do? I'm meditating. Meditate actually means to mutter to yourself. Meditate means you're speaking the word of the Lord. That means you take scripture and you begin to talk it out loud. Take scripture, begin to read it out and meditate upon it. Meditate upon it. Think on these things. This book of the Lord will not depart out of your mouth. It's not just something in your heart. It's something that's in your mouth. You're speaking it. The devil says you're going to fail. So I will not fail. God never fails. He lives on the inside of me. Therefore, I cannot fail. He makes a way for me. You start speaking these things out of your spirit. He makes a way for me. He said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans not to harm you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I have a hope and a future. Devil, you're a liar. Every plan that you have for me comes to naught. I'm on the victory side. You speak the word. In your house, you walk around. Put the stupid television off. Stop listening to CNN and MSNBC and NBC and CNN, whatever else. Listen to the word of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord. You will live and not die. And show forth the glory of God. You'll not die prematurely. You'll not die before your time. Get the word. Speak it. Train your spirit. So by meditation, you train yourself on the word. Pure scripture. Not opinions. Don't meditate on opinions. Scripture. God's word. Actively alive and energetic. That's number one. Number two, practice the word. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word. But be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. If you're a doer, you will be blessed in your deeds. If you're a hearer, you're like a man that went and looked in the mirror. And you saw you had a mark on your face, but you didn't do anything about it. and you walked away and you forgot what manner of man you were. And when you went outside, your wife said, hey, you got this mark. And you say, oh, you know, I did see it, but I was distracted. I never dealt with it. If you're a listener, if you're a hearer, nothing's going to change. If you just come sit on Sunday and just listen, nothing will change. You have to become a doer of the word. You have to put the word into practice in your life. It's very important. And I'm not saying, somebody said, but Pastor, there's so many things. How do I practice all those things? Just practice one thing a day. Over 365 days, that's 365 things. Somebody said, what are you working on now, Pastor? Well, whatever the Lord's dealing with you on. Some of you can start working on forgiving people. Somebody said, what are you doing? Oh, I'm meditating on every scripture about forgiving people. And I'm forgiving them. Somebody said, do you do that? Yeah, I have to do that. Are you kidding me? I have to forgive all the time. Somebody said, why? Because there's always somebody doing something. For example, there's a church in California, Pastor John MacArthur. He can't stand me. Doesn't like me at all. Doesn't even believe I'm saved. Doesn't believe in healing, miracles, signs and wonders, tongues. He says we are of the devil. But today, he might get arrested for having his church. So I tweeted this yesterday. Pastor John MacArthur is not a fan of mine. However, he's a brother. I'm praying for him and his church this weekend as they come against the communist agenda to shut the church down. May God strengthen him and embolden him. Do you know what's so crazy? I was on his radio show in 1988. I just arrived in America. I was on KTLA radio in Los Angeles with him. And he interviewed me and said, you're from South Africa. And he said to me, what's the greatest threat to America in the future? And I looked at him and said, communism. And he laughed at me. It was the end of the conversation. But today, he might get arrested because of communism. Let me tell you right now, I actually met him back in 88. He doesn't even remember that. But I was with him in his studio, and he interviewed me, said, what's the future problem coming to America? 1988, folks. I was 26 years old. I said, communism, we're facing it today. Let me tell you right now, many people, they might not like what you say. They might not want to listen to what you say. It doesn't matter. You have to do your job. So I pray God embolden him, and they stand for the church. Can you say amen? And I don't hold anything against him. He actually doesn't even know me. Well, they've seen you preach. They've heard what you say. Whatever. They don't believe in anything. They don't like Kenneth Hagin. They don't like anybody who casts out devils. Any person that believes in laying on hands on the sick, they're finished. So I'm not just in the classification by myself. I'm in a classification by everybody in the Pentecostal faith. If you talk in tongues, you're done. You're finished. Well, guess what? There's close to 1 billion people on the planet that speak in other tongues. And we're not backing off of the Holy Ghost just because some people don't want the fire of God. It's the fire of God that will bring America out of this problem. It's people full of the Holy Ghost, full of the anointing, that will go from city to city, town to town, village to village, and set the captives free. God's not through with America. I don't care what the devil thinks he's doing. God's not through with this land. And not only by meditating the word, by practicing the word, but giving the word first place in your life when there's anything that is happening. What does the word say? Proverbs 4, 20, 21, and 22. In the King James. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 4.
Proverbs 4 and verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings, and let them not depart from thine eyes, but keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all of their flesh.
Okay. When you put the word first place, then the word is the standard. It's not my opinion. It's not what I decide. is what the Word of God says. The Word is the plumb line. The Word, you have to make straight paths for your feet. The Word is the foundation on which you stand. If you're not standing on the Word, you're standing on sinking sand. Everything will fail, but God's Word will never fail. His Word will sustain you. His Word will carry you. If the government fails, God's Word won't fail. The bankers fail, God's Word won't fail. The doctors fail, God's Word won't fail. His Word never fails. And then, number four, by instantly obeying the voice of your spirit. That means when God speaks, don't push it away. Don't push it away. Don't ignore God's prompting and leading. The Lord will wake me up in the middle of the night and say, I want you to give that amount of money. I mean, somebody said, well, I don't know about all this stuff of giving. He wakes me up. I want you to sow that. I want you to give that. I do it immediately. I get up, I text somebody, this is coming to you today. I text the office, let's wire this amount over there. Instantly, everybody say, instantly. Can't hear you. Instantly, obey the voice of my spirit. And then lastly, another way you can train your spirit is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. Jude 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's why the baptism in the Spirit is very important. Very important for your life. And you pray. Pray with the Spirit, we pray with the understanding. We sing with the Spirit, we sing with the understanding. Amen. Why don't you just close your eyes right now, just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Bible says when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, the Holy Spirit prays through you the perfect will of God. Somebody said it sounds like gibberish. Sounds like I don't even know what I'm speaking. You are speaking the perfect will of God over your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a release of the anointing. Coming out of this service today are going to be people that will begin to hear the voice of God and follow the prompting and the leading of the Spirit of God. Nothing will come upon you unawares. Nothing will take you by surprise. You're going to be steps ahead of the enemy. If the enemy digs a ditch for you, he will fall in it himself. Are you listening to me? Steps ahead of the enemy. No plan of the wicked will prevail against your life. Not on your wife, not on your children, not on your husband, not on your grandchildren. The hand of the Lord will sustain you. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come nigh you. It shall not come nigh you. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Pastor, they'll think I'm crazy. Who cares? Who cares? Now, I got a lot of people think I'm crazy. Who cares? I don't care. I don't care. I'm only concerned what God says. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. I want everybody to bow your heads on the field right now and in your homes. I want to give an invitation here today. If you came here today to the service, you've never ever given your life to Jesus. You've never ever said, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior. Maybe you're watching by way of television and you didn't even know what this was. You were just clicking through the channel and you saw this thing called The Stand, and this is Sunday morning at the River Tampa Bay Church. I'm the pastor that got arrested way back, right in the early days, in March, because I kept the church open. But I want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus, today you can know him. as your personal Lord and Savior. The thing about the Lord is he's not going to force anything on you. He only comes when he's wanted. He'll never push one thing on your life. Not one thing. He's a shepherd. He leads the sheep. He does not drive the sheep. These things we're talking about are holy. I mentioned earlier about the laying on of hands. I learned in the early days, 1993, we were in the Lakeland meeting in Carpenter's Home Church. Over 100,000 people came through in 6 weeks. And there were people lying under the power by the thousands. And witches came in and started walking and laying hands on people. And they came and told me that. I said, that's it. There's a new ruling. Nobody lay hands on anybody. I'm not allowing some witch. That's like running a hospital where you're going to do a heart surgery and then some strange doctor comes in with a scalpel and just starts to cut. Excuse me, what are you doing here? Led by the Spirit, not driven by the Spirit. God will never force himself on you. He calls. He says, come. Come. Today is your opportunity to surrender to the Lord, to say, come, Lord Jesus, save me. I don't want to go to a devil's hell. 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, he paid the price for your sin. That today, if you repent, that's not mean you got caught doing it. It means, repent means you were going a certain way. You stopped what you were doing. You realized the error of your way and you turned around and you left it behind and you went the other way. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die and after that, the judgment. This very day, your life could be required of you. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Will you do that today? Will you say, Jesus, come and save me? He will. And he'll become real to you. And you can have a personal relationship with him, not through some preacher, not through some prophet, not through some bishop. You will have a personal, intimate relationship with him. Maybe you're on the field or you're watching by way of television. You gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, radically. But something happened and you lost the peace. You lost that first love. You lost that joy that you once had. But today you say, I'm coming back. I want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. I want my joy restored to me. I want this thing released over my life. Maybe it's something hidden that no one even knows. Maybe your wife doesn't know, your husband doesn't know, your parents don't know, no friends know, but you know. Hidden things, pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, hidden things that clog the heart of man. Today he will set you free. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everybody could see. And people even remind you on the anniversary of what took place. And you feel like, well, who cares anyway? They already know how bad I am. I might as well just give up. I was talking to a pastor yesterday from Argentina. He said, I was 17 days from getting married to a young girl and she was killed in a car wreck. And he said, I spiraled out of control and went in the world. And he said, I was on drugs and I did terrible things. I came back, the Lord restored me. He actually called me and he said, now they called me from Argentina. This is years later. He's now married. He's got children. And they said, we've got film footage. We've got photographs of you. And you have to resign the ministry today. If you don't, we're going to go public with it. He said, what do I do, Pastor? I don't want to hurt my family or anything. I said, you tell them to fly a kite and tell them, go ahead, publish whatever you want to. I repented of that and God brought me back. If you have film footage, you've got photographs, stick it in your nostril and see if I care. I'm not quitting the ministry. God's already restored me from that. Are you with me? God is a restorer. Today He will restore you if you will let Him do that. Maybe it's not outward like that. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along, you were doing great, and then out of the blue, something hit you like a Mack truck from hell, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And then lastly, you love the Lord, but you're not sure of your salvation. The devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today, you want to make sure. Today, you want to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. If this is you, anywhere on the field, I want you to put your hand up. Now, I'm going to pray for you quickly. Raise your hand up high and say, yes, Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Quickly put it up high. Ushers, if you help me. God bless you over there. God bless you over here. And those that are watching on television, put your hands up in your home. Somebody said, nobody's watching. Nobody can see me. God can see you right where you are. Put your hands up. All across the field, raise your hands right now. If you want to be included in the prayer that I'm going to pray, I want everyone that raised your hand to stand and follow me. Come. Follow me. Come to the altar. Come. Everyone that raised your hand, come. We're going to pray together. Come on. Come on. Today is your day of freedom and liberty. Come. He calls you now. Come. He calls you now. Don't just sit there. Get up from where you are. Come now. Today is your day. Today is your day of victory. You might have come to this field one way, but you're leaving another way. Because today God's going to meet you right at that place. If you're hungry for Him today, if you're thirsty for Him today, He'll hear your cry. He will come. He will redeem you. He will restore you. He will renew you. He will revive you. He will empower you. He will grace you. He will equip you. There's others. Quickly get up from where you are. You might never have another opportunity. Quickly come. Come now. Just like Noah said, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Come. That gangplank is down. That ark is still there. There is a flood that's coming. But right now, His mercy and grace is extended towards you. Come, He's calling you. Come, He calls you. I feel it. I feel like a giant vacuum cleaner on the field right now. I mean, I'm telling you, I feel it right now. I feel so strong. God's calling people. There's still some other people. Quickly, you need to make a run. I got a nice track right down the middle here. Quickly, get up from where you are and come now. Come. 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 He calls you. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Turning back. You can take the whole world. Jesus. You could take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You could take the whole world. Turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
People are asking me, what are you doing right now, Pastor? I'm checking up on congregation members. I come to find you under your umbrellas. Isn't this awesome today? Isn't this awesome today? I want those of you on the field and those of you watching in your homes, I'm going to lead them in a prayer. I want you to pray a prayer together with me. As I pray with them, you pray with me. It's about surrender today. I want those on the field to stretch out your hand towards these precious people. And we're going to pray together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want everybody standing here, if you would look at me right now. We're going to pray one prayer fits all. If you've been busy with God, God means busy with you. And those in your homes, you're going to pray. As I pray, you pray. As we surrender to the Lord, I want you to close your eyes, raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this together with me right now. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. I will be saved. So Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me, cleanse me, change me, fill me, use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift your hands and just thank him out loud right now quickly. Just thank him as I pray over you. Just thank him as I pray over you. Father, I pray over each and every person that you would seal them now by your blood, by your spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God. And use them to impact this generation, we pray. I break every bondage, every addiction. I even break curses off of their life. I send it back to the place where it came from, to the place of origin. And I set you free by the power of the blood of Jesus. Be freed. Be free. Be free. Fill them all with your Holy Spirit. Fill them all with your peace and your joy. fill their cups to overflowing even now. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.